Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We've talked a lot on The Takeaway about the possible environmental catastrophe because of the oil spill in the Gulf. Well, one is upon us. This weekend begins migratory season. For the next 6 months, about a billion birds will make their way from Canada and the U.S. to south, to winter homes.
Uh-oh.
300 species, mallards, herons,
warning,
loons, sandpipers, balloon-winged teals. They're headed toward a death trap in the Gulf where they're going to stop to rest and unwittingly land in oil. During past spills, now this is an amazing thing, in past spills, experts say only 1 in 10 birds ever survive an exposure to oil. So you do the math. That is millions of dead birds if they get exposed to oil, if they land in the Gulf. But
100 million birds if it's a billion.
Land in the Gulf, but right, yeah, millions. Dave Weidig joins us again. He's the chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, which is within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Also with us from Jackson, Mississippi, Dr. Tom Moorman. He's the director of conservation planning for the southern region of Ducks Unlimited. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Dave, answer the question that John and I were just discussing. Do we know how many birds are actually at risk?
The number I've seen most frequently, and this is U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service numbers, is we're looking at probably 40 to 50 million birds coming down the Mississippi Alluvial Valley.
Okay, and with a survival rate of possibly 1 in 10, that's a lot of dead birds. But explain to me this plan that you have for flooding fields and creating other landing sites for the birds. How does that work?
Well, we're looking at an area from Missouri in the north, Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, over to Florida, across to Louisiana and the Texas Gulf, to work with farmers and ranchers and partners like Ducks Unlimited to flood farmland fields to create shallow water habitat, different types. The objective is to try to minimize the likelihood that these migrating birds will come into contact with oil-impacted areas. And the second priority is to make sure they have food and habitat to compensate them for sources that may be reduced or eliminated because of the spill.
Dr. Tom Moorman, I have seen experts comparing this to the results of this migratory season to be anything from the results of a hurricane to what happened to the passenger pigeon in terms of complete elimination for a species or two. Where do you kind of rank this in terms of how serious it could be?
Well, the risk is certainly very high because there's so much oil floating out in the Gulf. What we've seen so far, and having been down there, most of the impacts at this point are in the perimeter of the marsh vegetation and on barrier islands and beaches. So when you talk about, say, 50 million birds coming down, certain species, certain guilds of those birds might use beach habitats that are going to be more vulnerable. The birds themselves will be more vulnerable because that's where oil is located presently. There's not oil, for instance, in interior marshes, at least not yet. But the risk is very high because of a hurricane that could have a tidal surge that could drive oil in there. So the way I've sort of been characterizing it is the damage at this point is bad, but it could get much, much worse in magnitude and spatial area covered. And what we don't need is a big storm to blow a bunch of oil into those places.
Well, both of you have been really candid this morning, both about the unlikeliness of this working, but also the severity of the problem. Dr. Moorman, just remind me for a second, are birds imprinted on nesting places on their way to winter homes, like, say, salmon are to the spawning creeks that they actually were born in? And is it going to be really, really difficult to come up with an alternative?
Well, migration is certainly instinctive, and birds have been following the migratory corridor in question here, which is the Mississippi Flyway, literally for thousands and thousands of years. Weather and habitat conditions, a whole lot of things work to influence the rate of migration and the timing of it. So whether or not we can sort of delay that through a habitat program is really unknown. For instance, Mississippi River, the wetland birds, there are wetlands up and down the Mississippi River corridor from literally from Canada all the way down to the mouth of the river. Birds will stop, they'll use them, and they'll get pushed by a weather event, and they'll stop again whenever they need to refuel. So I think offering alternative habitats, such as we're talking about here, is a pretty logical thing to do. It's a reasonable thing to try. No one can predict for sure whether it will work, but it is certainly something that is valuable, not only in the sense of an oil spill, but also in the larger context of habitat restoration. Most of the states and provinces along the way have lost well in excess of half of their habitat, wetland habitat that they've had historically. So putting back wetlands is always a good thing to do. Giving birds options is always a good thing to do.
Right. Oh, but Dave White, there's not real any way to completely stop the birds from landing in the Gulf. I mean, as I understand it, this plan is to reduce the time that they spend in oil, not to keep them from landing there at all.
Right, Celeste. As Dr. Moorman said, the hereditary urge to migrate is deeply imprinted. I don't know that we're going to stop anybody, but we can maybe provide alternative food for them, alternative sources. And one thing to keep in mind, part of this initiative is also targeted towards those what's called neotropical migratory birds, like songbirds, where they nest in the U.S. and or Canada, and then they'll fly south to escape the winter, and they will actually try to stock up on food and calories at the edge of the Gulf and then fly over the Gulf into South America or across to Mexico. So it's more than just waterfowl. We're looking at creating mudflats for the shorebirds. We're talking about creating food for the songbirds that are going to fly over. So it's really a broad spectrum look at all the critters that are going to be coming our way.
Well, Dave White, I hate to ask you to imagine the worst, but today we're talking about life without things. And let's imagine for a moment that this plan does not work and we lose tens of millions of migratory birds. What will it look like during migratory season in the Gulf when you look up in the sky?
Well, this fall, it'll look like there's a lot of birds up there.
Next fall?
Next spring, there will be fewer.
Any species going to go?
I don't think so. I certainly hope not. And part of this is to make sure that doesn't happen. And again, even if the chance is small that we succeed, what kind of people would we be if we didn't try?
Man, Dave, you're my hero this morning.
Dave White is the chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Dr. Tom Moorman, director of conservation planning for the Southern Region of Ducks Unlimited.